11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals. He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals.
Oh, it's good to be back. How I have missed that little ditty and how I have missed Peter Farries. I haven't seen you, Pete, since yesterday.
Yeah.
This is the League Podcast, the Championship version. We've had twins over the summer, so congratulations to the League Podcast. We have got a League One and a League Two version in association with the 72.co.uk. Well worth checking that out. And we'll be talking to Sam Ashu from the website on League One and League Two. So you've solely got the Championship to focus on this season, Pete.
Yeah, which no is ideal considering I'll be spending most of my weekends in League One. But yeah, I'm looking forward to
it's to give you
this.
A little bit of a break from
it
the
is.
Chesterfield.
It
stuff.
Is. Listen, I'm really looking forward to it. The guys from the 72 are absolutely excellent. You know, loads of good stuff on there. I've had a look myself, and they're a welcome addition, certainly. So yeah, I've got to hold my end up now. I've got not just you to fight, I've got Sam Ashu to fight as well. So I want to try and keep it away from physicality, but we'll see how the year goes, and it might get that far. Certainly, you know, I've been a bit of banter today and in the last 6 months about the nap problem. But the last 2 years, perfect naps, really quality, high level amounts of money going into your account. Last year, admittedly, decent actual podcast tips, terrible, utterly terrible nap results. So this year, I'm utterly determined, as my 1,437 word document would attest to, Lee.
Exactly, yeah. We're going to try and get off to an absolute fly. I've got some good games to preview for the opening weekend as well. And it all starts with a TV match on Friday night with Blackburn Rovers versus Cardiff City. Blackburn are 13-10. The draw is 23-10. And Cardiff are 21-10. Straight in with the headline offers. Jordan Rhodes to score and Blackburn to win 3-1. Adam Lafondra to score and Cardiff to win 5-1. You're going to tell us a lot about the transfers. I mean, the one thing that struck me is that Blackburn brought in a couple of strikers. But when you look at the list of players that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has brought in, there's some quality there and there's some experience there as well. And he's gone around Europe and brought in some high-calibre players, I think, for the Championship.
Well, look at Guerra. 74 goals in 150 appearances. He's an exceptional buy. I think the best one they've made is Degashwi from Crystal Palace, spelled Dikachoy, but pronounced Degashwi. Unbelievable. This guy was an absolute machine when Crystal Palace got promoted. He is, I think, among the best signings in all of the Championships so far this summer. I really do rate him so, so highly. Yes, they've lost Corker. Yes, they've lost Campbell. They've brought in over £10 million in player sales. They've spent a lot of money themselves, of course. But also, you know, Federico McCaid has gone in there on a free. So there is players, very, very talented players, that have managed to get very, very cheap, or in that case, free. For Blackburn, I mean, Gary Bowyer did an unbelievable job last year. You think about all the hoo-ha around Blackburn over the last couple of years, and he steered that ship, and he did it so quietly and just got on with it. They've got one of the best strikers in the league, unquestionably, in Jordan Rhodes, a man who last season got 25 goals. Luke Varney can be great at this level. Alex Baptiste showed glimpses at Bolton, but had one or two injuries that I think maybe just disrupted things a little bit. And Chris Brown, obviously not fit for the early games of the season, but is a good signing. A young man they've got coming back from loan as well, Josh Morris, saw a lot of him in League Two last season. He is a Championship player now. I really do believe that. Central midfielder, excellent player, a big reason why Fleetwood had a good year last year. Really impressed by him. So where do you go in this game, bet-wise? Well, as we always say, these opening games of the season, we've had five of them now, and four of them have been unders. So whether it be last year with the 12-15 kickoff between Bolton and Burnley, there's only been one overs game, which included Norwich. But generally speaking, these games are always unders. Under 2.5 goals in this match is 7-10. Now, when you've got that kind of stat, you have got to look at things, of course, elsewhere. You've got to say there's great strikers on the field. There's great goal-scoring talent. But at the same time, yeah, but it suggests that these games are so tight and testy because again and again and again, barring that 1-3-2 result, we've had unders every time. We've had under 1.5 on three of those occasions. These games are incredibly tight. So I've played the draw here at 23-10, Lee, along with the unders at 7-10. You can, of course, combine those on the William Hill website and get yourself one uber market and one uber price on the draw and under 2.5 goals. But I like the unders at 7-10, and I like the draw at 23-10 here. Tight game for me.
Very nice. Good way to start. Sitting on the fence. Middlesbrough. I'm joking. Middlesbrough versus Birmingham is the next feature game that we're going to have a look at. We're going to look at the two TV games in a little bit. Middlesbrough 4-5 to win their opener. 12-5 the draw. And Birmingham 15-4. The Blues survived by virtue of scoring more goals than the bottom three last season. Scored plenty more, but their defensive record was terrible, to be fair. They were level on points with Donny, weren't they? On 44. Middlesbrough were 12th last year. Done a nice bit of business, Middlesbrough. Anyone who listens to this regularly know that they are your side. Sold a couple of players and spent the money wisely, I think.
They've just the signings have been incredible. Kike from Real Murcia, 27 goals for him last season.
Amazing record.
They're in the final throes of signing Jelle Vossen from Racing Genk in Belgium. They've brought today Adam Clayton in. Which is a great signing. Kenneth Omoruo has come for another year's loan, just been at the World Cup. He'll be a centre-back again. And they went through that horrible patch, didn't they, of those games last season, Lee, where they didn't score, but they didn't concede. They were just nil-nils all over the place. That discipline at the back will continue for me, but they have now got the players going forward. Of course, Emiliano and Suet. There's suggestions they might still be in for Juan Fran of Real Betis. So the quality there is unarguable.
Yeah.
They've invested so well, Middlesbrough, and I think are a frighteningly good price. They were initially 6-1 in the market for promotion here, Lee. They're 9-2 now. That's still, for me, backable.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get to this, I'm sure, very soon, but in terms of the teams coming down, only 23%, I think it's 23.4% of teams bounce straight back again to the Premier League. So I think you can count at least one or two of those relegated clubs out for me.
Yeah.
And I think Middlesbrough are well within a shout at 9-2. But in this game, Birmingham's problem last season was on the road, wasn't it? They couldn't get going on the road. They had patches at home where they weren't very good. Then they could get going on the road. Then they could. Yeah. They were never quite right. And that for me is a trend that it's going to be very hard for them to sort of turn around. You look at the players they've brought in. They're going to have arguably a new defence. I mean, Gavin Gooding's gone in there. David Edgar, who I'm a big fan of, a centre back, huge hulking centre back, a very good player. They've taken a former Borough player as well in Jonathan Grounds. He was at Oldham. He's gone up now to the Championship to play for Birmingham. But I think Borough start very, very strongly here. And I think Middlesbrough minus a goal at 2-1. You are looking at real attacking talent. You are looking at really good defensive talent having gone in there. They are still, Middlesbrough, of course, looking at more and more players to bring in. Quite simply put, it's a really, really good bit of business here for me, this. Borough to win and Borough minus a goal at 2-1 are both my picks.
Millwall against Leeds is an interesting opening day fixture, isn't it?
Unless you go, of course.
Fantastic. Millwall are priced up at 11-8. The draw is 9-4. Leeds are 2-1. There's a bit of fat on these each way. The home win, the draw and the away win, whichever argument you can make. Last season, about 10 points separated these two sides. Millwall were in 19th position on 48 and Leeds were 15th on 57, so not quite 10 points, 9 points. Leeds, of course, all the chat, close season, Pete, with Mr. Chelina coming in, and now Leeds fans seem to love him, and employed a manager called Dave Hockaday, who is that his name, isn't it? Dave Hockaday, who?
Yeah.
Who?
Dave Hockaday, who?
Cause people always say who at the end.
Dave Hockaday, who? Dave Hockaday, who?
Yeah. Hockaday, who? I mean, whoever Dave Hockaday is.
Whoever Dave Hockaday is, who?
He must have a fantastic knowledge of Serie A and Serie B because they've raided it. I mean, it must be his signings, I'm presuming.
A lot of players in, more to come.
Leeds fans are excited.
They've signed Nicky Ajozie today as well from Peterborough, which I think is a very decent signing. I've seen Ajozie myself several times in the flesh and very, very good indeed. I say in the flesh, he was wearing clothes. My word, I almost gave that one away, didn't I? But yeah, a very good player. But with Leeds, I mean, how long have you got? It's very hard, I think, to get involved in Leeds in this market this early on before we know what we're going to get from Dave Hockaday and from
who
this
knows?
Early stages of the Chelino empire. Don't forget, this guy did you know, with what Cagliari are as a side, he did very, very well and was always very, very sort of stubborn with his sales. Clubs came in again and again and again for Victor Ababo, for example, and he kept saying, no, I want this much, no, I want this much. And it worked with Ross McCormack, didn't it? They got over £10 million. But Ian Holloway went into a Millwall side that was struggling last season. He not only had to steady the ship, but then he turned it around as well. They did improve massively. Now, the problem that he had when he went in there is we know Ian Holloway. We know that he wants to go at teams. He wants to be aggressive. But their squad wasn't really set up for that. That wasn't really what they'd done all season. And he did really well to keep them up. Yes, he's brought in Ricardo Fuller, which will add an extra kind of attacking dimension. I like Carlos Edwards. I like Byron Webster from Yeovil. I think it's a very, very good signing. I think the best one is Matthew Briggs. They've brought in from Fulham, the left back. He can be a real, real talent. And then, well, we're all waiting to see what Lee Gregory can do at a high level after that undisclosed signing, after a quite frankly phenomenal season with Halifax. A couple out in what, Trotter and Feeney, Shane Lowry and Andy Kehoe, but I don't think he'll massively miss too much sleep over this. The really good bet here for me is, I'm not a massive head-to-head player, but these are two clubs who don't massively like each other. Now, I appreciate that in the scheme of football, Millwall aren't always the most popular side anyway, but these are two sides who really don't like each other. I really like the look of the half-time draw here at 19-20, Lee.
Yeah.
The under 2.5 would have landed in 5 of the last 6 meetings between these two sides as well, which is 7-10. But what I really like, first of all, the stats in your favour. 5 of the last 6 half-times have been a draw, so 19-20. But think of Dave Hockaday here. First away game, he will be delighted at half time if he takes his men in at even square or square, whatever, just so it's a draw at half time. He will be delighted with that, and I think Ian Holloway will throw everything at Leeds, but I don't think it'll be too early. For me, that 19-20, with how tightly contested this game's going to be, with the atmosphere in the stadium, I think it might be a bit stifling in that way. So I'm going to play the draw at half time at 19-20.
Very nice.
In terms of a winner, by the way, I would. With Millwall.
Mm. Interesting game next. Nottingham Forest versus Blackpool.
Yeah.
100-30 on Nottingham Forest. 4-1 the draw. 10-1 for Blackpool. Obviously, Forest managed by Stuart Pearce now, who spent the majority of the summer in Brazil. Mm-hmm. Obviously didn't take over the club initially because of his commitments to the media and didn't want to renege on those, which is fair enough. That's very principled. I actually saw him out there and I spoke to him.
Here we go.
Spoke to him.
Did you go to the World Cup, Lee? Didn't mention that, mate.
Spoke to him briefly about
did
it.
Did Pele by any chance?
He didn't tell me. I did hear some of my profile.
Did you?
Oh,
you
and Stuart Pearce.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, mate. I didn't realise that.
But he didn't. Do you know what? I'll tell you one thing about Stuart Pearce.
Go on.
On the way out there, right? So we're on a plane with the likes of Robbie Savage and Rio Ferdinand and Danny Murphy and all the others. They were all in.
Just get a dustpan and brush for all these names.
They were all in business.
Right.
I was obviously in economy. So was Stuart Pearce. In economy. With us. With the men. With the men of the people. That's what I liked about him. That's when I spoke to him. And he wasn't overly keen to talk about anything to do with Nottingham Forest.
You mean overly keen to talk to you, basically, is what it was.
Basically, that's
He's been a bit keener this week.
The signings, if you look at the signings, Blackpool signings compared to Nottingham Forest signings, obviously there's all sorts of problems at Blackpool. But can they be 100-30 on the opening day of the season, Pete?
Well, like I say, he's been keener to talk this week, hasn't he? Because his interview with BBC Radio Nottingham had him almost sort of slagging off the owners. Felt that two of the players had been sold for what he called, I think, cut prices in someone like Lescal, who is absolutely incredible. Up until about 2 days ago, I would have flown headfirst into a pro Nottingham Forest bet. It's only yesterday, Tuesday, that they got a goalkeeper. Joe Lewis went in yesterday. That's yesterday they got a goalkeeper. There are times in this league when you say 10-1, 8-1, 6-1 is far too big on almost any team. I don't think Blackpool are quite a team yet. You know, they brought in Thomas Sifka, who's a good player, Jacob Mellis, but both were relegated last season. Zenyoff is a good player. Their manager is already getting linked with other jobs. For example, Racing Henk, who I mentioned earlier on. They are looking at the Blackpool manager because they've sacked Emilio Ferreira after one game. Racing Henk, they gave him a 2-year contract extension in the summer. 2-year contract extension, and then sacked him after the first game when they were smacked. So really, this is the one for me. I don't see how Blackpool can play this. Tony McMahon has come out, the Blackpool right back, and said, we're beginning to look like a team now. We're beginning to actually have a team. It's not really where you want to be 3 days before a game. So what I eventually took the plunge on, I was a bit worried about going on Forest because what Stuart Pearce has said may or may not be true. I'm not privy to either way. But it can be unsettling to a side. However, in a game where Forest, I expect to beat a team that are just a Frankenstein's monster at the moment. They might get good, and I hope they do. But at the moment, they're not really anything other than just parts. I thought the Forest double result at 3-4 Lee was a really decent way in.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, fair dues. Next one's a real intriguing game. Ipswich Town versus Fulham. This is the TV game, 5:15 on Saturday. Ipswich are priced up at 8-5. The draw's 11-5. Fulham 7-4. Ipswich only 4 points off the playoffs last season in ninth. Fulham, of course, coming down from the Premier League. Going to be intrigued to see how they go. Felix Magath still in charge, and they've spent a fair few quid as well, anywhere between 13 and 15 million, depending on which website you look at. I mean, they've obviously made some money as well. They've got rid of the likes of Jajaga and Kasami and Stockdale all for money. Kieran Richardson they got $500,000 for, which is amazing business, and so on and so forth. So it's not like I think they've actually brought in more than they've spent. Pete, you were talking about that stat earlier on about how teams who come down fair in this division. It's not the easiest of places to go if you want a cliche.
It's not. Ipswich were only beaten 5 times at home last season. Early on, it was Leeds. But Leeds at that time, don't forget, up until January, were still generally in the mix for a promotion playoff place. But then the other teams, Burnley, Leicester, QPR, Wigan. 3 of those teams went up. And the other one was part of the battle to try and join them.
Yeah.
That is not a bad record for Ipswich particularly, is it? Mick McCarthy has made it an unbelievable fortress. They've brought in Cameron Stewart, who at one point looked like he was going to be a Leeds player. He then almost immediately broke his jaw, and he's going to be out for quite a long time. Johnny Williams was important for them last season, but he's back at Palace. They brought in a guy called Kevin Brew, who, you know, I work in European football, and I don't know too much about this guy. They've brought in the Notts County goalkeeper. All in all, I think they're about as strong as they were last season. Some good players, well organised, and with a very, in my opinion, good manager. For Fulham, well, there's no doubt their players will be fit. If you've heard any of the tales about Felix Magath.
Amazing. If not, read up on him. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's incredible. My favourite is the one where Wolfsburg's players run through Wolfsburg's woods. When they get to the end of their run, there is, I think, 20 or 25 full bottles of water. He kicks all but one over and tells them to share it. It's about teamwork. I'm not sure if that's true, but that is one of the myths. The one that's definitely true is about the German Marines who trained pre-season with Wolfsburg and said it was harder than what the German Marines do.
Amazing.
So they will be fit. There is no question about that. They've obviously brought a huge amount, giant gamble on Ross McCormack. I'm sorry, but as great as he was last season, Ross McCormack, spending that much money on a player in this division is a giant gamble. I don't care who they are or what their record was last season. It's a huge gamble. Brian Ruiz has come back from his loan from PSV. They've still got Stekelenburg. And if you think back to a lot of clubs who've come down, Lee, some of these relegated clubs, they start really well because they've still got the remnants of the old, you know, one or two of those quality players. Middlesbrough did it, for example, under Southgate. When they went down, they were still Tunshai, they were still Adam Johnson, and they were strolling the league because these players were still there and they were really good. I think, to be honest, I'd rather play Fulham than Ipswich here.
Yeah.
Despite Ipswich's wonderful home record last season, because they were only beaten by teams who were very close, and I imagine that Fulham will go quite close this season. I don't know what to expect long term from Cardiff, but I do think that Fulham will go very, very well this year, truth be told, Lee. Whether or not they win the league, whether or not they're in the playoffs, we'll discuss, I'm sure, as the season progresses. But I still think that they're going to be one of the better teams, and therefore they're one of the few teams that are going to have a chance going to Ipswich and picking up a win. The bet for me is Fulham draw no bet at 4-5. It gives you that lovely bit of insurance in case of that draw. The other one worth looking at, by the way, Ross McCormack is 17-10 any time. Now that is huge. And do you know who scored the winner at Portman Road for Leeds last season?
It was Ross McCormack.
It was a man called Ross McCormack.
On the 48th minute.
So there you go.
That might be my nap.
McCormack 17-10 any time. When you look at what he was doing last season, also a penalty taker, don't forget, you're probably not going to get him at 17-10 as the season progresses. So I think that's well worth your time and your cash.
Yeah, yeah. Interestingly, on that game, the other goal scorer is Luke Varney, and Leeds United without both of those players, of course, this season. Going back to Leeds briefly, Wolves versus Norwich is the last game that we'll have a look at. This one's on Sunday at 4 o'clock on your TVs. 5-4 Wolves, the draw 11-5. Norwich 23-10. Wolves done a bit of decent business. I was just looking into this chap they've bought from Heerenveen, the winger, scored 5 times in 30 in the Eredivisie last year, and eight assists. Rajiv Van La Parra, 23-year-old, one of those sort of players who he could become only a young lad, but could become a bit of a hero at Wolves if he hits the ground running. And then you look at Norwich, who of course came down. Kyle Lafferty's been brought in for a bit of money. Gary O'Neill as well from QPR.
Lewis Grabban.
Yeah, Lewis Grabban as well. Got rid of Robert Snodgrass. I don't know about Norwich.
I don't know about Norwich. I think they are a mid-table side this season.
23-10 is a decent price, isn't it? But
there are some players in that side, your Housens, your Johnsons, who've done well at this level before. You know, today they've managed to get rid of Ricky van Wolfswinkel as well, who scored on his debut and then didn't score again.
It's a shame, because he could have. I mean, he's a good player, though. He'll do well somewhere else, won't he?
Yeah, he did well. He did well at Sporting Lisbon. Obviously, he was even better before that. But yeah, it didn't quite work for Ricky van Wolfswinkel. And you know, they've got good players there. Of course, Hooper's still there as well, and he'll be very good, I'm sure, at this level. So there is real talent there. Gary O'Neill will be a steady head. But I think Wolves are phenomenal value here, Lee.
Right.
I think they're phenomenal value. They were a team that picked up 103 points last season in League One. They didn't have a goal scorer in the top 10 of the goal scorers in the league. And the one that they did have, they brought in halfway through the season when he'd already garnered quite a few goals. The feeling at Molineux, I've got a friend who actually works at Molineux, the feeling there right now is incredible. Absolutely incredible. It will be bouncing at Molineux. They're going to be absolutely up for this. And I think for Norwich, and certainly a relatively inexperienced, well, not even relatively, an inexperienced manager, generally speaking, I just don't know if Norwich will be able to cope with the occasion. So for me, ultimately speaking, you've got to go. You have unquestionably got to go here with Wolverhampton Wanderers at 5-4. Also quite like the headline offer if he starts, Leon Clark to score and Wolves to win at 7-2. Again, he was that man I mentioned that they brought in. He was the 11th highest goal scorer in the league last season. Kenny Jackett, they'll be organised, they'll be dangerous. They are still trying to improve their back line. Liam Cooper from Chesterfield is still expected to go through in the next couple of days. I don't fear for Norwich. They're not going down or anything ridiculous like that, but I don't think they're going to become one of the 23% who bounce straight back. I don't expect a huge amount of them, truth be told. And I think Wolves, with the feeling at Molineux, with the feel-good factor, with the organisation of Kenny Jackett, I think they're a great bit of value.
Very nice. Before we get the opening naps, we're just going to get a quick word from Pete on who he thinks will go up.
Yeah.
You can also see who will win it if you want, and relegation. Who are you going to go for?
Promotions, Middlesbrough at 9-2. Mentioned it earlier on. Aitor Karanka is still recruiting very, very well. They've brought in a World Cup player again on loan from Kenneth. I always struggle with this. Kenneth Omoruo. Don't know why I struggle with that so much, but there you go. Great centre back. They are still improving. They are organised. Gibson's putting his hand in the pocket again. Listen, I'm not just putting this up because I'm a fan of Middlesbrough. I haven't put them up for the last 2 years. Yeah, and I think this is the year. Kike is a great buy and has looked very good. Adam Reach has had a great pre-season, the left winger who was at Shrewsbury last year. And if Yelavorsen goes in, that is an incredible front line at this level. For a man, you know, he was a talisman, a captain of Racing Genk, a great player. So, truth be told, I think Middlesbrough at 9-2 are phenomenal value for promotion.
Mm-hmm. What about relegation, Pete?
The one that I sort of had a little bit of a look at here was Birmingham at 7-2.
They haven't done enough business for me. When you look at the players they've brought in, they tend to be, there's a couple of Scottish lads, the League One players. It's players below the level, not even, maybe there's a couple at the level. But, you know, there's no standout signing for them. And they weren't great last year, were they?
Well, the one that I think you could maybe argue is as a standout is Clayton Donaldson.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
1-3 is average for Brentford. 1.5 for Crewe. A very dangerous player indeed. He's a man who's just got married over the course of the summer as well. Because loads of people I know went to that and I wasn't invited. He got married. He's a great striker. He really is. If he settles in the Championship, he's going to be absolutely lethal. But I just worry, and I think 7-2 is quite a big price for them to go down.
Yeah, fair dues. Naps.
Yeah. Are you going to do the nap table properly this year? I think that put me off last year, not knowing where I stood.
I'll do it properly every week.
Yeah,
the way we work this is that it's a £10 stake. We get the £10 back if we win as well. A bit different to some naps tables. Obviously, we lose a tenner if we don't. You can go first if you want. I'm going to have a loosener, I think. Well, I'll tell you what. My thinking is I really like the Ross McCormack bet because he scored against them last year. New club, blah, blah, blah. 17-10 looks too big. So that's what I think my nap should be. But I can't get that 10-1 out of my head. I might have a loosener and just go for Blackpool at 10-1.
If you land that, that's a nap table over for the year.
That's what I mean.
It's done. Yeah. I might as well just stop immediately.
I'm going to go for that. Blackpool at 10-1.
You're a moron. Because you don't even believe it's going to land. You put it up to the price.
It's just too big.
You're sickening. To be honest, in all seriousness, we've said this already. In this league, that is a ridiculous price. But it's a ridiculous price because the situation of Blackpool is ridiculous.
Yeah, true.
I've got two that I really love. I love the halftime draw between Millwall and Leeds at 19-20. And I think Middlesbrough to win or the minus a goal would be the play. So it comes down to which one do I fancy more? Do I want to back nothing really to happen in the first half of Millwall Leeds, or do I want Middlesbrough to really kick on and take Birmingham apart? And because I think they're going to get promoted this season, I'm going to play Middlesbrough on the outrights, Lee. Middlesbrough on the outrights, my pick of the week, naps-wise.
Very nice. Good luck, Pete.
Thank you very much. Good luck, Lee.
May the best man win this season.
It didn't happen last year.
Don't forget, League One and League Two covered in their own right this year as well. So check those out. They're on the same places. This will be?
On that. Very quickly. I'm going to be really quickly because I appreciate the guys from the 72 are going to be covering this in much more detail than I. Northampton from League Two to get promoted. 9-2. Phenomenal value. Bought Mark Richards, John Joe O'Toole. They've brought in Mohammed, a lefty, the young lad from Swansea. They've relayed the pitch. The manager's fantastic. 9-2 is amazing for them. And I'm going to jump on the Sheffield United bandwagon for promotion there as well. 7-4 for Sheffield United.
Very nice. You can download this podcast at williamhill.com/podcast, on audioboo.fm, and at the72.co.uk. Plus, you can subscribe at iTunes, so plenty of places to get it. We'll be back next week for more of the same. Like I said, check out the League One and League Two versions as well. And if you're having a bet on any of the Football League games this weekend, very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.